Will Europe and Britain follow the Fed in raising interest rates, and why economic abuse matters?
One way in which women are controlled is through finances.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. In Britain, inflation has been rising at its fastest rate in 6 years. So as the Bank of England meets today, higher interest rates would make sense, if not for one exception. Chris Beecham is Chief Market Analyst at IG Group.
Higher interest rates would be sensible given that the inflation is above the bank's target, but of course it also knows that wages in the UK aren't keeping pace, and so people are seeing a squeeze on their incomes. Now, if you raise interest rates, that means that you will then have an increase in loan repayments, mortgage repayments, which will put further pressure on consumers, and that will slow the economy. So the bank finds itself in a very tight spot, really. It can't do too much about inflation, which it thinks is about to peak and start to drop back again heading into next year anyway, without putting too much pressure on the consumer.
What about the backdrop of Brexit? You've got the 27 members of the EU arriving later today in Brussels. The British Prime Minister is going to try and convince them to let the two sides move on to trade negotiations. Is that playing into monetary policy?
It's certainly a factor for the knowledge that businesses will be maybe delaying major decisions until they get more news. But at least in some ways it's less of a problem than it was last time they met, because you have this first stage of a deal.
What's the picture in Europe? Because we've got the European Central Bank unveiling new growth and inflation forecasts.
Well, there it smiles all around for the ECB. I think they've had a good year. The Eurozone economy is roaring ahead, and their bond buying quantitative easing program has done very, very well. The questions will be what they want to do next year. Mario Draghi hates being drawn on what comes next. He would rather, I think, give broad views on next year and say that these decisions will be made in due course, and that at the moment, the bank is very much happy with things as they are.
Chris Beecham. Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower ahead of today's central bank meetings. Germany's DAX is down 80 points or 0.62%. Now, the US isn't the only country debating net neutrality, the idea that the internet is a public utility and its content should be accessible at the same speed and cost. As the FCC votes later today on overturning rules passed by the Obama administration to keep content equal, here's the view from India, the world's second biggest internet market. Just last month, India's regulator recommended the government enshrine net neutrality into law. The BBC's Samir Hashmi explains.
Well, it all started in December 2014 when India's largest telecom company, Airtel, announced that they would be charging extra for calls or voice made over the internet, which meant if you're making a Skype call or a FaceTime, they would charge you extra. And it became a national discussion when Facebook, a year later in 2015, announced that it would be providing a new program under which people who don't have access to 4G or 3G could still use some basic features like Facebook and other apps on their phones. Now, this led to a backlash because a lot of proponents of net neutrality felt that this would be the first step towards really bringing in restrictions when it comes to net neutrality, because a lot of other companies would tomorrow come and say they would charge more for certain apps that users were using. But right now, the telecom department of India has very clearly backed net neutrality, and it says that the internet should be free and fair.
It looks then like India is headed towards strong net neutrality protection, while the US could be headed in the opposite direction.
There are still no laws in India around net neutrality. So now what happens next is these recommendations go to the government. The government will have to formally approve them and make them into a law.
Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. Me Too shined a glaring spotlight on sexual abuse. Well, here in the UK, a new campaign hopes to change the law on one form of abuse still in the shadows. The BBC's Vishala Sripathma met Stella Eden, a young woman who was a victim of economic abuse.
We would go into a shop, and on one instance, he saw something he wanted, and it was £300. I didn't have £300 on me. So he just said to me, what's going to cost more, my purchase or the fact that he's going to smash everything up in sight in the shop? So I panicked and I just got my credit card out. That resulted in me getting into about £3,000 worth of debt.
The economic abuse Stella experienced led to physical violence, and eventually she found the courage to leave. Rachel, not her real name, was made to leave her job to work with her ex-partner. She was given a small allowance a week.
He insisted the money I earned go into the bank account that he controlled. He set up a prepaid cash card, which was in his name, and he gave me £100 a week. For many, many years, I was without a salary. And in fact, when I became pregnant, I wasn't entitled to maternity leave or benefits.
In the UK, a new law against controlling and coercive behaviour was introduced in 2015. It meant people could be prosecuted for emotional and psychological abuse. The British government are launching a consultation on a domestic abuse and violence bill. A campaign group is lobbying the government to include financial abuse within the bill as a criminal offence in its own right. Nicola Sharps-Jeffs is the founder of the charity Survivors of Economic Abuse.
And we don't understand that one way in which women are controlled is through finances. So another thing we hear all the time is, well, why didn't they just leave? But if they don't have somewhere to go, the means and income to be able to support themselves and any children they might have, then we start to recognise how much economic abuse poses a barrier.
Critics insist that those carrying out law enforcement need to be trained and aware of the signs of financial control for them to be able to spot it. All cases like Rachel's and Stella's will continue to go unpunished. In London, I'm the BBC's Vishala Sripathma for Marketplace.
Finally, know where you're going to watch the latest Star Wars movie? Maybe the IMAX? Well, here's a screening none of us can beat. NASA says it'll show The Last Jedi to crew members aboard the International Space Station in English. They speak Russian and English. But I wonder if their popcorn floats. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.